Continue in Isaiah tonight, and I'd like for us to take a text in the 26th chapter of Isaiah. My wife sends you her greetings. She is not well tonight, and but she's going to live and not die, and that's a good thing. In the package, you got a lot better off. You did a lot better getting her than you did getting me. I'm just telling you, in the package, you did good. But she'll recover. Isaiah 26 and verses 1 through 4. This text is after a long, long season in this book of pure judgment and wrath. And God pouring out wrath on everybody in Israel's neighborhood. And after, there are some prophecies about Israel and Judah. And this is a song of praise in Judah. Chapter 26, beginning in verse 1. Would you say, in that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah? We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation, which keepeth the truth, may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Now turn to your neighbor and tell them Jehovah is not a good translation nor transliteration. But the word here is probably better rendered Yahweh. But since it's already there in the most prevalent of all Bibles, the King James, this is not a hill we want to die on. But I thought I would mention it to you because I want you to be an educated crowd of people concerning the things of the Word of God. And the letters here were rendered YHWH, and it was a scribal thing to add the Jehovah later on. Now, this is not good news for the Jehovah's Witnesses. Among other things, they have a good number of theological problems. Well, praise the Lord. So to our text. Would you say, thou wilt keep in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. Praise God. God bless you. You can be seated. Clap your hands, lift your voice, and give God praise for his word that is forever settled in the heavens. And we give you all the praise and honor and glory, O God, and we magnify your name. And we thank you. Praise God. Praise God. Talked to Brother Keith Clark today. He's excited about coming back to Birmingham. And Brother Booker's excited about coming the end of the month. It's going to be a great month of revival. Well, in the chapters from chapter 13 in Isaiah down to chapter 24, there is judgment poured out on Babylon and Assyria and Moab and Damascus, which is Syria, and Ethiopia and Egypt and Arabia. And in chapter 24, the voice of the prophet, and as you're reading Isaiah to where we are in this, say, the 26th chapter, we've already had real-time prophecies concerning Israel and Judah. We've had futuristic prophecies concerning the millennial and the end of time. And so in the landscape of the prophetic utterance in the book of Isaiah, you get prophecy from the point where Isaiah is standing all the way down to the end of time. And sometimes it emerges in the middle of a flow. He's talking about the king of Tyre, and he's judging Tyre and the king of Tyre, and it suddenly becomes a judgment against Lucifer, son of the morning, which tells you that the spirit of Lucifer was moving in Tyre and in the king of Tyre. And so you get a very expansive landscape of biblical prophecy in the book of Isaiah. And in chapter 24, he has to that point been judging all the nations around Israel and Judah. And last Wednesday night, we talked about this, the fact that God judged everything around them that had tempted them and perverted them and caused them to compromise and had intimidated them or forced them or lured them or tempted them. I want you to understand that there's nothing outside of your core circle of commitment to God that is threatening you, that God does not have judgment planned for that. Whatever's trying to lure you out of the kingdom of God, you can go with it if you want to, but God has judgment planned for that, and he's going to be preeminent in everything. He's going to be first. There's going to come a day that everything's going to bow its knee and open its mouth and proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord. I want to do that right now. I want to do that today. I don't want to wait till I'm forced by some sword-bearing angel, but I want to declare that Jesus is God Almighty, and I want to do it today. But in that 24th chapter, he judges the whole world, which is the end of this flow of prophetic judgment. He's judged all these nations surrounding Israel and Judah, and now he is judging the whole of the world. And there's an ultimate judgment here, and the message is enlarged, and it's made universal. And so these judgments are coming down. What we're going to deal with tonight is the characteristic of those who have fallen under judgment and what is going to happen to them. And we're going to compare and contrast with this praise concerning Judah, because some things are said about Judah that can't be said about those that have fallen under judgment and vice versa. We're going to start study tonight. We're going to start in chapter 24 and verse 1. And we're going to look at these judgments of God upon the earth. Chapter 24 and verse 1. Behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty, and maketh it waste, and turneth it upside down, and scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof. Tell your neighbor, everything that can be shaken is going to be shaken. Now, this is a prevalent theme throughout the Word of God. If you're putting your hopes in this world, you're going to be sadly disappointed. If your love is all wrapped up in something you're building here, you're in trouble, because your heart's going to be broken, because nothing you build here is going to last unless you're building it in the kingdom of God. My God, what a sad thing to lose your soul over something you can't keep. He's going to scatter the inhabitants of the earth. Verse 2. And it shall be as with the people, so with the priest, the servant and the master, the maid with her mistress, the buyer, the seller, the lender, the borrower, the taker of usury, so with the giver. It doesn't matter which end of the business you're on. Everybody's going to come under the same judgment. I thank God that we've got the judgment of God in this house right now. It's called an altar. The process of judgment is called repentance. And I'm so glad that right now the hand of God's mercy is extended. But as sure as you're sitting in this house tonight, there's going to be a day when mercy doesn't work anymore, and the judgment of God is coming down. I'm glad to, you're not nearly as excited about that as you ought to be, but I'm glad that my sin can go before me. The Word of God said some men's sin go before them and some follow after. I want it all to be taken care of before I get there. I want it all to be under the blood before I get there. But everybody's getting judged. Nobody is beyond judgment. I know you think you're special. I know your mama told you you were pretty, but you're not special to the degree that you're going to escape the judgment of God. You've got to repent. You've got to be baptized in His name. You've got to be filled with the Holy Ghost, and you've got to walk according to the Word of God. Verse 3, the land shall be utterly emptied and utterly spoiled. The word of the Lord has spoken this word. Nothing's going to last. Verse 4, the earth mourneth and fadeth away. The world languishes and fades away. The haughty people of the earth do languish. The earth, verse 5, also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof because they have transgressed the laws. Everybody say they transgressed the laws. They changed the ordinance. They broke the everlasting covenant. These are the three charges that are made against the world when judgment's coming down. They've transgressed the laws. I want you to know tonight, God's given us a rule book and a guide and a manual. And all you've got to do to please God is walk by this book. I said, all you've got to do to please God is walk by this book. If you want to please God, don't transgress the laws. It does matter what you do. It matters to God. They transgress the laws. They change the ordinance. And where we're living in modern non-biblical Christianity all around us, they don't like the law of God, so they just change the law of God. Well, you know, that was just for back. Brother Cliff brought up a news article from the local newspaper in Sunday, and it had an article about a homosexual priest or bishop or some church official having a debate with a Church of Christ pastor. But they didn't show a picture of the Church of Christ guy. They showed a picture of the lesbian priest or whatever it is. I can show you chapter and verse where the Bible says that in the Old Testament, that lifestyle will get you stoned. I don't mean stoned as in drugged. I mean stoned as under a pile of rocks. And in the New Testament, the Word of God clearly says that it's an abomination and is the result of being reprobate and not liking to keep God in your thinking. Our generation doesn't like that law, so they change the ordinance. The Bible says you can't even be saved like that unless you repent. Well, if you don't like it, you change it. They transgress the laws, and that got to making them feel guilty, so they just changed the laws. And now they don't feel guilty anymore. And they broke the everlasting covenant. You see, with God, there is a covenant, a pact, an agreement, where God says He will do these things and you are required to do what's on your end of the contract. It's called a pacto. Tenemos un pacto con Dios. And it's necessary to obey your part of the pacto. That's right. Amen. That's right. And it's like your insurance company or any other pacto that you have. You've got to take care of your premiums or they're not going to cover your damage. They won't rebuild your house. There's a lot of people between Arkansas and Alabama that are going to be rebuilding in the next few weeks because of that storm that came through last night and yesterday. And those that don't have insurance are sitting out on a slab weeping bitter tears because they would like to have help, but just desire doesn't rebuild their house. They would like to be rescued by somebody coming in and writing them a check, but that won't happen. Desire doesn't make it happen. Sincerity doesn't make it happen. Because you want it desperately doesn't make it happen. You have to have the contract in place. Praise God. And living for God is a contract. God has made an agreement with you that He would save your soul from hell, that He would remove your sins, that He would write your name in the Lamb's book of life. If you would repent of your sins, be baptized in His name, receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and live a godly life. Praise God. These have changed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore, verse 6, hath the curse devoured the earth, and they that dwell therein are desolate. Therefore, the inhabitants of the earth are burned and few men left. The new wine mourneth, the vine languisheth, all the merry hearted do sigh, the party is over. All the fun that they tell you they're having, it's not going to last. It doesn't satisfy. The world's party is about to be over. If you're looking over the fence wishing you could join their party, you need to get in the Word of God and understand their party is not going to last. Somebody's about to turn out the lights on the world, and the best party in town anyway is in the house of God on a Sunday night. Well, praise God. The best wine you're going to drink is the new wine of the new covenant. And the best high you're going to get is the high you get with the Holy Ghost moving in your life. Well, praise God. Verse 8, the mirth of the tabaret ceaseth. It'll make your tongue tied to read the King James. The tambourines quit making their noise. That's at the world's party. But at the church's party, we're going to keep playing them until the trumpet sounds, and then we're going to play them over there if they've got them. Somebody say praise the Lord. This party doesn't stop. That one stops. This party gets better as it goes. That one, you get hollow-eyed and disillusioned. The further you go, the older that music gets. But the further I go, the more I love what we're doing here tonight. Is there anybody in the house that can say, this is better than when I began? This is better than when I first started. The governor of the feast said, but you have saved the best for last. I tell you, the closer we get to the coming of the Lord, the sweeter this thing gets. The closer we get to the sound of the trumpet, the better this thing gets. My God, I believe the best young men and women that ever will walk in the kingdom of God are walking in the kingdom right now. You do with that what you want. But I believe God saves the best for last. I believe God's going to uncork miracles. I believe God's going to anoint His church in these last days. What do you believe? I believe the world's party is winding down. Friend, they got to get drunk to have a good time. They got to shoot up to have a good time. They've got to go with somebody else's husband or somebody else's wife. My God, we've been walking with the same woman or man for all these years, and we're happier now than we've ever been. What's wrong with us? It's the kingdom of God, and it's a celebration, and it's a party, and it's a good party. And it's better than the party I was in the world. Praise God. Now, I'm not going to go all night because Chris needs to get baptized and get the Holy Ghost tonight. We're going to get you introduced to the party. In the old life, we used to say, we're going to turn you on. Tonight, we're going to turn you on. I know they don't say that anymore. I know that's absolutely archaic, but I don't know what they say now. So, haven't been doing that. We called them numbers or J's or joints. What do they call them? Good. You don't know or you're faking that. Verse 8. The mirth of the tabaret ceaseth. The noise of them that rejoice endeth. The joy of this world is so hollow. Yay, my team won. Yay, another home run. Yay, but it rings hollow. It's so empty. It's so without lasting impact in reality. But my God, this thing that we're doing here tonight, we know that it's not about this moment. We know that what we're doing is practicing for what we're going to be doing for eternity. I'm just warming up, the song says. I'm just getting ready. Well, praise God. The joy of the harp ceaseth. The party of the world. Hollywood's going to go dark. Verse 9, they shall not drink wine with a song. Strong drink shall be bitter to them that drink it. Ah, this world makes it get so empty and bitter, and the taste of it might be exciting when it's new, but boy, when it's old, it's just old. And old sinners are cynics. and really sad, sad people. I see young people stepping out into the party. I see young people reaching out and taking part for the first few times. And oh, there's this giddy excitement about that. But they don't know, because the devil never does advertise what's going to happen to you 5 years down the line, or 10 years down the line, or 20 years down the line. It's not a pretty sight what sin does to you. Sin has pleasure for a season, but friend, it will cost you. There's going to be the ringing of a cash register. I don't know what it will cost you. It may cost you your life, your home, your family, your health, but it'll cost you something. You can't dance with sin and not pay the piper. But they're not going to like their strong drink anymore. It's going to be bitter to them. Verse 10. Now watch this allegory. Look at this analogy. The city of confusion is broken down. Now, you notice we read there in chapter 26 about the things of God. Everybody say, we have a strong city. And you remember back when we were doing our study of I feel Holy Ghost all over this. Back with our study of the Psalms, and David was crying, walk around Zion and tell her towers and consider her bulwarks and look at this city, because that's what the kingdom of God is like. The New Testament writer says, Abraham, he said he was looking for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And then Jesus would say, the church is like a city set on a hill. But in between these two chapters about the judgment of the world and the praise and singing and the party of the church, the death of the party of the world and the ascension of the party of the church, there are these two cities in discussion. And in the 24th chapter, the city of confusion is broken down. But in 26, they're singing, we have a strong city. I'm telling you, when you came to be a part of the kingdom of God, you were born into the city, New Jerusalem. My God, this thing's in ascendance right now. It's growing greater and brighter and more powerful every day. The city of confusion is this city that we live in all around us here, and millions like it all over the world. And they're on their way down. They're all, as fast as they build, they're in decline. And as they rise up in the hearts and the minds of men, after a little while, they all pass away and they become decrepit, and you notice how they decay from the inside out. But that's not happening in the city of God. I'm so glad tonight that we've signed on to be a part of the city of God. The city of confusion is broken down. Every house is shut up that no man may come in. It's not fit to live in. As this world goes, it'll become apparent very quickly. This world's not fit to live in. It's not fit to live in. Young people, hear me. This world's not fit to live in. God's not going to leave you here very long. He's coming back to take a church. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Don't get close to it. Just pass through. This world's not my home. I'm just a passing through. Somebody say, I've got a great city. Verse 11, there's a crying for wine in the streets. All joy is darkened, and the mirth of the land is gone. This worldly party, this worldly arrangement, this whole worldly system is on its way out and down. Verse 12, in the city is left desolation, and the gate is smitten with destruction. The city is desolate, and the gate is destroyed. The gate is smitten. The gate is that controls what comes in and goes out of the city. And the world doesn't have any control over what comes in and goes out. And so it's opposed to the ordinance of God and opposed to the law of God. And a gate like that cannot last, because it's in opposition to the word of the living God. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Down in verse 17, Fear and the pit and the snare are upon thee, O inhabitants of the earth. My God, we are the exact opposite of that. We're not afraid. We've not received a spirit of fear again unto bondage, but there's fear out there tonight. They don't know what to do, but tonight if you really got the goods, you'll lay your head down at night and sleep sweet in the hope of God and in the power of the Holy Ghost. Our name was on the roll for the pit, but it's not now. And the snare is not going to come upon you. Verse 18, and it shall come to pass that he who flees from the noise of the fear shall fall to the pit. And he that comes up out of the midst of the pit will be taken by the snare. For the windows on high are open. The foundations of the earth do shake. The earth is utterly broken down. The earth is clean dissolved. The earth is moved exceedingly. And here's where... there are a couple of passages like this, but it seems as though the earth is going to tilt on its axis or wobble on its on its course. The earth, verse 20, shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, and shall be removed like a cottage, and the transgression thereof shall be heavy upon it, and it shall fail and shall not rise again. Paul writes to the church at Corinth and says, the world groans to be clothed with the new creation. The very world itself. Why do you think there's a corresponding increase in earthquake and volcanic activity growing more and more common toward the coming of the Lord? It's because the weight of sin, the earth itself, is twisting under the weight of sin. Nothing here in God's creation was made to operate with the weight and the blight of sin upon it. You can't be happy like that. It's killing you. The world can't be happy like that. Before it's over, the world is going to be staggering like a drunken man. My God, it's a good day to know God and to have your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Verse 21, it'll come to pass in that day that the Lord will punish the host of the high ones that are on high, spiritual wickedness in high places, and the kings of the earth upon the earth, and they shall be gathered together as prisoners are gathered in the pit, and shall be shut up in the prison. After many days shall they be visited. The moon shall be confounded, the sun ashamed, when the Lord of hosts shall reign in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem and before his ancients gloriously. It is this judgment is inevitable. It is absolutely universal, and it is inescapable. It doesn't matter if it's the prince of Persia that held Gabriel away from bringing the word of God to Daniel in the writing of the book of Daniel. That spirit is coming down. It doesn't matter if it's the king over the greatest empire on the face of the earth today. That king is coming down. Every parliament is coming down. Praise God. And so the city of the world is going to be absolutely laid waste and destroyed. And we could talk about how you get to that place. And maybe Sunday morning we'll talk about that. We'll go to Romans chapter 1 and see the sequence of how the world goes into reprobation. Or we'll look at chapter 25 here and pull a few more examples here about how that comes to be. But I want us tonight to go back to the chapter that our text is from, chapter 26 and beginning in verse 1. Everybody say, but the righteous are not so. Tell your neighbor, but the godly are not so. Tell your neighbor, I'm a part of a city that's never going to fall. I'm a part of a kingdom that will ever be. Do you believe that tonight? Do you understand this world is crumbling as we speak tonight? Do you understand that the darkness is encroaching all over this world and there's no good thing here? But my God, this church is in ascendance and the kingdom of God is in ascendance and there is no end to the increase of his government and peace. Praise God. Chapter 26, and this is a marvelous juxtaposition here. You've got the world falling apart. You've got darkness covering them all. You've got them wandering in the streets, crying for a little wine and bitterness in their cups. And destruction all around to the degree that the world itself is reeling to and fro. But in the middle of that, Isaiah, by inspiration of God, said, but the people of God are still singing. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Chapter 26, verse 1. Say, in that day. I want to tell you, in this day, when the world has lost its mind and the world has lost its way and there's misery on every side and you got to be medicated to get up in the morning and medicated to get a good night's sleep and you can't live without drugs or drink or some vicarious form of entertainment, our world has lost its mind. But in that day, we'll sing a song. My God, we've got a song to sing. We've got an experience to talk about. We've got a God in our lives and a hope in our hearts and a promise in the Word of God. All clap your hands and lift up your voice. If you can do it, reach over and tap your neighbor's foot with yours and say, don't you play footsie with the world. Don't you have one foot in and one foot out. You'll lose your soul. This thing, can you understand? Do you just instinctively know in your Holy Ghost that this world is going down? These things can't last. Give your neighbor a high five and tell them we've got a song. We're going to sing this song. Somebody say, we've got a strong city. Shake your neighbor and say, this city of God not going down. It's getting stronger every day. My God, we had 6 or 7 join in. The city was building up just this past weekend. Sister Charlene was telling me about she called to get an address for a church in Colorado. She had talked to a telemarketer. She turned it around on him. He wanted to sell her satellite service. She said, we don't do that. And he was so appalled at the idea. I think the question was, what do y'all do for fun? Well, the answer to that is, we eat a lot and we go to church. We go to church on Sunday morning. We go to church on Sunday night. We go to church on Wednesday night. There's something going on Friday night. We see our friends. We see our family of God. We give high fives. We dance a little bit. We shout about it. We celebrate every time we get together. My God, it's high energy, high octane. We got victory. Praise God. We've got a song. We've got a city that's not winding down. But this thing is winding up. Praise God. Can you feel? Is anybody just waking up sometime, driving down the road sometimes, and you've got this inexplicable, irrational exuberance just kind of giving you Holy Ghost heebie-jeebies for no reason that's apparent to the natural eye? I believe God has already got the angel there with the trumpet in his hand, and the angel's feeling it, and God's feeling it, and the church is feeling it, and the world is feeling it, and we're singing, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Say, we've got a song. We've got a strong city. Well, what do you have in your strong city? The world's not standing. What do you have in your strong city for walls and for bulwarks? Well, ask your neighbor that. Say, in your city, what do you have for walls and foundations? Tell them, salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. This Acts 2:38 message, it brought me into the kingdom. It's kept me for over 30 years. And it's going to usher me in to the kingdom of God in eternity. The wall that I have Oh, you got to get this. When they went to measuring in the book of Revelation, they went to measuring for the walls of the new city. They didn't let him measure. In the Old Testament, they had measurements. But in the New Testament, they didn't measure the walls of the new city, because the thing was designed to keep on growing and keep on growing and never stop growing. Salvation's my wall. Salvation's my bulwark. Praise God. Are you saved? Are you saved? Everybody full of the Holy Ghost? The joy of God? You're not going to wait till you get a woman to really live for God. Because you see, right now, Brother Sutton, I got to be suave and debonair and smooth. And I can't really serve God with all my heart until I have her on my arm. Because if I really act like an apostolic, I'll never get her on my arm. If I really act like how I feel acting in the kingdom of God, I'll never find a girl. A girl won't look at me sideways. My God, if I act like David coming down Main Street, act like a shouting fool. And ditto for the girls. I've got to be classy and beautiful. And I can't be classy and beautiful. And I'm snotting and I'm crying. And I tell you, God's looking for a young lady just like that. He's got a Romeo in his hand. He wants to send, but he won't send him until he finds the right little vessel. Woo! Oh, girls, you missed it. Somebody ought to just be freaking out about right now in the Holy Ghost. We've got a city. We've got a song. We've got walls and bulwarks of salvation. How strong is this city? It's as strong as that great salvation. God bought it with his own blood. God paid for it by coming down from heaven and walking into death and hell and the grave and laying waste to them all. Do you think anything on earth or in hell has power to overcome this awesome salvation that God has made available? I tell you, no. I tell you, this thing's bulletproof. It's demon-proof. It's only thing you can do is turn your back on it and walk away. Then it's no longer valid in your life. But friend, if you want it, you want to live for God, you want to wind up in heaven forever with God, this thing is real. It'll keep you. Praise God. Somebody shout, open ye the gates. No, shout it, open ye the gates. That the righteous nation, which keepeth truth, may enter in. This is a city that's going to stand and will not come down, because it's got a gate that operates in righteousness and in truth. This world doesn't care about it, but we care about it. This world doesn't love it, but we love it. Somebody say praise the Lord. Everybody in the city say, let the righteousness in. Let the truth in. Praise God. We're not interested in what the world has to sell. I don't know about you. You've been raised in this. That's one thing. But I've been out there. I don't want anything this world's selling. My God, I've seen enough good friends of mine go down and lose their souls. I don't have any love for this world at all. Praise God. Open the gate. At the righteous nation. Brother Cliff, you want to baptize Chris? Chris, you want to be baptized in Jesus' name? I told him he'd get a certificate and a picture tonight. Part of the deal. Praise God. Some music would be real nice right now. I'm going to stop. We'll just press on Sunday morning, maybe. Praise God. This city, you see the contrast. The city of the world, their gate is smitten with destruction. They just let anything come in and go out. You got to have a gate that's discerning. Praise God. You can't just let anything come in and go out of your life. We do commerce. We traffic in righteousness. We traffic in truth. Praise God. That's all we're interested in. I'm just going to tell you, not just any Tom, Dick, or Harry is going to come walking in this church, stand in this pulpit. Not just anybody's going to sit here and sing with these young ladies. Not just anybody. I'm just telling you, we're not going to have some Fairy Larry up here playing the keyboard just because he's talented. My God, if you want to be a man and you want to be involved in music around here, first thing I got to know is that you're a man. I don't care if it's a drummer or what. We don't have fairies on the platform. You say that's politically incorrect and that's insensitive. Oh, no. Oh, no. My God, if you're a Pentecostal boy, you need to get out in the rocks and get out in the mud. Mama, listen to me. Don't you raise him with little skirts and lace on him. You let him out and eat some dirt and eat a rock and get bloody and scratched. You do something. We got a gate on this city, but we're not just letting anything in. That's why the gate is there. I've been given the job of being the Levite over this gate, and just anything can't come in. Well, somebody say praise the Lord. All right. I got to quit. I was listening to a radio interview the other day. There was a mom being interviewed concerning her child, which had biologically been born, I may have it backward, biologically been born a boy, oh, a girl. And they made him into a boy. Because they said from early on, come here, Brody. Come here, buddy. I said, not on your life, Mac. I'll tell you why. Look at that. That's all boy right there. That's all boy. Praise God. But they were having a discussion about transgender experiences. And I remember the preacher preaching about it just Sunday. And a preacher just said, brief inspection of the plumbing settles the issue. Now, you have to watch yourself because you get bombarded. If you go to high school, you get bombarded. You go to school, you get bombarded. They're on primetime television. They're telling you that it's... Oh, he's down in the water. Let's pray. He'll get the Holy Ghost right now. Pray, church. He'll get the Holy Ghost right now. Pray, church, you'll get the Holy Ghost right now. Somebody talk in tongues. Come on. Cause it to cloud up in here. Let your faith be released. Let the Holy Ghost cloud up and rain on it. little bit. Go ahead and have yourself a little party.
Holy, 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 praise Him, praise Him,
praise Him,
praise Him,
praise Him,
praise Him,
praise Him.
Praise Him with your song. Praise Him with your song.
Praise Him with your dance.
Praise Him with your dance.
Leap for joy.
Leap for joy.
Sing, shout.
Sing, shout.
Praise Him.
Praise Him.
Praise Him. His name. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Let's give God praise for Chris going down in the water in Jesus' name. God's going to fill him with the Holy Ghost. Oh, we got another one praying. In the house praise needs him. The Holy Ghost praise or you just him. Need to pray through
praise
you need to
praise
repent
him.
Of your sins
praise
this would be
him.
A good time to do that
praise him.
Praise Him.
good day. You gotta stand up on your feet and praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. If God's been so good to you, you gotta stand up on your feet and praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. If God has been so good to you, you gotta stand up on your feet and praise Him. Praise Him.
We'll have to finish up on this on Sunday. My, so good to be in the house of the Lord tonight, huh? Shake your neighbor and tell him we're a part of a great city. And it's not going down, but it's getting stronger every day. Praise God. Remember, if you're a part of a, if you are the primary on a team or you're the coordinator of that team, we need to meet with you 7 o'clock on Friday evening for a planning session. And get some flyers in the foyer and start telling your friends and enemies about Brother Cornwell coming next week. And we're going to have an awesome time of service around here this coming Sunday. God bless you. Thank you.